good music, and appreciate the musicians being faithful here also. You know, it takes to do things right, you need a good team, and everybody on the team's important. And we forget sometimes some of the folks that might be a little bit in the background. Appreciate the ladies on the instruments. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis this morning. I'm going to do a little different here. I've got a great ambition. My ambition is to cover chapter 19 in Genesis. That may not happen. Somebody said, preacher, can you preach 20 minutes? And I said, I've always would like to do that. Never been able to quite make it. It always overruns a little bit, but maybe we'll cover enough here this morning in Genesis chapter 19. I'm kind of picking a subject that's been in the news, and I'll tell you what it is here a little bit and just talk about it a little bit. If you caught the news this week on CNN, and I flip channels sometime when I'm watching the news trying to get dodge the commercials. You know how they time them all together, don't they? You can't hardly do that. They're in cahoots. You know what cahoots means? They schemed where you can't go from one to the other. You're going to still get the commercial, amen? But anyway, I do that. I sometimes flip between Fox and CNN or some of the other regular channels. I hate to spend any time on the liberal channels. I try to dodge them, spend most of my time on Fox, and of course it's better than the others, in my opinion, much better than the others. Still, you got liberalism showing up everywhere. But on CNN, they made a big deal out of the preacher in church in North Carolina that ripped on the gays after our president declared himself being for gay marriage. Anybody catch any of that? The name of the church up there, if I caught it right, and I don't know them. It was a Baptist church. I don't know anything about them, but I believe the name of it was Providence Road Baptist Church. And just from what I could see on the camera there, pretty good size church perhaps. Then I saw a follow-up on it later. Of course, the reporters attacking, you know, it was just awful. It was just a terrible thing that preacher would get up and say what he said against the gays. And I thought it was a pretty good sermon, the little bit part of it I heard. And of course, I guess they're going to be demonstrating against him. And then I saw where the newsman was trying to get in there to interrupt their services with a camera. And I did appreciate the fact that the sheriff's department wouldn't let him in. I like that. I don't know for sure, but I would think my friend the sheriff here in the county might help me out in a situation like that. I'd hope he would. I believe he would. I know where his heart is on it anyway. And with all that said, I'm going to ask you to go to a place in the Bible where homosexuality caused God to destroy a couple of cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. So Genesis chapter 19. I saw the reporter talking to a church member there that was trying to defend her church, and I appreciated that because if I got it right, not over the news, but through some other channels, a number of other Baptist churches in the area quickly put on their website, our preacher does not speak against alternate lifestyles. Now that's sickening to me. I mean, when you get to the place that Baptist churches don't have any more backbone than to stand against evil, and it is evil, and it's condemned in the Bible. So you make a choice between the Bible or what the world says is right. Amen. And so I caught a little bit of how other churches were forsaking this guy. He's out on a limb. Now, he might have been a little crude, but sometimes you have to be a little crude to get folks' attention. And he didn't say anything was wrong. His whole point was, and what he said, the illustration he gave was, if you fenced all the lesbians on one side, you fenced off all the homosexuals on the other, the gays on the other side, so-called gays, they're real sads, but anyway, you fenced them off, and you fed them, dropped some food from a plane and fed them, give them a little time, and they'd all die off because they can't reproduce.
Yeah.
Now, he's telling the truth.
That's right. That's right.
That's what would happen. Yeah. Now, the newsman said, but what about the others that are being born to straight people? Well, I want to tell you, they're not born gay. The newsman was trying to say they were.
Yeah. Right.
They're not born gay.
That's right.
That's a choice that they make later.
Yep.
And you say, how you know they're not born gay? Because I can recognize the difference between a male and a female.
Yeah.
And that's the way they're born. They're born male or female, one or the other. Now, that's the perversion comes later.
Right.
So his point was not a point at all. But they all, including him and some others that I've seen on TV, want to say that, and of course he brought on a liberal preacher. They always do this. After they attack the conservative Bible believer, they always bring in a liberal then to explain the Bible away. So he come in, and the newsmen ask him, what about the book of Leviticus? Well, the book of Leviticus condemns homosexuality. It's a book where God is speaking more than probably any other book in the Bible. God picks up Moses, uses him as a pen to write the law. God picked up Paul, used him as a pen in his hand to write the epistles. But in Leviticus, God is speaking more directly without going through Moses or going through Paul or somebody, speaking more directly than any other book in the Bible. And he deals with what would be called today social issues or lifestyles or how to live right and what's right and what's wrong. That's what he deals with in Leviticus. So the point seems to be made by the liberals, that's the only place in the Bible, and it's the liberal preacher come on and said, that's out of context. No, it's not out of context.
Right.
It's plainly in context.
Yeah.
And it's not the only place in the Bible that condemns homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, New Testament, very much condemns homosexuality.
Yeah, right.
Now, here we find Sodom and Gomorrah mentioned through the Bible about them being destroyed. I'll use some references if time allows this morning. While that's true in the King James Bible, that's true. If you get an NIV, New International Version, or what I like to call the non-inspired version, anyway, it'll take the word Sodom out of it. You know why? Because one on the translating committee was a lesbian. Her name was Virginia Mollenkott. She bragged about it later, that she was on the translating committee and the rest of them on the committee knew it. And so she helped to get out sodomy out of the Bible. That's why I call it the homosexual Bible.
Yeah.
It makes it soft on homosexuality. So if your preacher preaches out of one or you got one, I'm sorry, I'm just gonna stick with the old truth. I'm not gonna change it, I'm not gonna water it down. It's where we're gonna stand. And I believe when you get to the judgment seat, you're going to find out God's sort of opinionated also about some of these things. Now, in Genesis 19, we're going to read about some things, and we just glean a little bit. And I saw, it's been several years back, I saw a very famous evangelist preach on Sodom and Gomorrah. I saw the advertisement for it before he done it, so I happened to be able to pick it up, be home at night and pick it up. I wanted to, because I wanted to see if on national TV, worldwide, he would tell it straight on Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not. The title of his message was, The Sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what he said that sin was? He said it was inhospitality. Inhospitality. Now, I want you to find inhospitality in this chapter as we go through it. That's not why they were destroyed. They were destroyed over wicked sin. And that's what the chapter will tell us right here. So, if you pick it up with me in chapter 19, I'm just going to move through a little bit and I just see what the text says basically about why they were destroyed. Says there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, most of you know that was a political position. Lot was down there playing it politically correct, though in his heart, you read Peter, and he tells us that Lot vexed his soul by where he was at. In other words, he knew what was right, but he was tolerating what was wrong. Why? For political expediency? For wealth? And so he was in the political gate here of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. You know what? There's going to be a lot of backsliders like Lot that's going to suddenly face God one day in shame. He bowed his face to the ground, and he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now, you know what? He recognized who they were, and he invited them in. Now, this sounds like he was wanting to show them hospitality, but you know what? They said, "We'll abide in the street all night." You know, I've seen a few places I'd sleep in the street before I'd sleep inside that place.
Yeah.
That's probably what they, I mean, it was so repulsive to them. They said, "We better just stay out here, man." You ever been to a place that was so filthy you felt like taking a bath before you got back to the car? I have. Now, you say, that's making fun of poor people. No, it's making fun of dirty people. Water's pretty cheap still. You're looking at a fellow that grew up in this town. Up until the time I graduated high school, I took just about as many baths in the lake as I did in the house. And I stayed clean. Somebody says, "Lake water? Hey, it's better than you think. Don't have as many man-made chemicals in it." Amen. I don't get off on that. I'm just saying I kept a towel and a bar of soap in my car, and quite often I went to the lake and swam and bathed and got home and shaved and took off for the night. If you saw the little old house we had and the little old bathroom, that was a wise thing to do. Amen. By the way, we own it church-wise now, and we've rebuilt the bathroom, but it still wasn't much. All right, that didn't cost you nothing. Anyway, they would sleep in the street, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did take unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, here's an interesting thing. The angels ate supper with him, made him a feast. Somebody said, "Are we going to eat in heaven? Wouldn't be heaven if we couldn't eat." Don't you agree with me? Amen. These angels ate. Now, I can't explain all that. I'll give you a reference on it if you want to go over to Psalms, Psalm 78, I believe. You can find it with me. Turn over there. And I'll just take what the Bible says, and I believe in taking it literal where we can. And so if I go over to Psalms chapter 78, get my pages to free up here and turn. I know it's in there. I read it last year. All right, little jokings with you. Okay, all right, jump into Psalm 78. Pick up the context in about verse 21. God is mad with Jacob here. Verse 22, he's mad because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, referring back to the journey in the wilderness of the Jews and all the murmuring and bickering they did out there in spite of all God's miracles. Verse 23, though he had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Now watch the next verse, verse 25. Man did eat angels' food. How about that? Is there food for angels? Was the manna in the wilderness angel food? Well, that's what the scripture says. I don't know that I agree with him, but I heard a Jewish rabbi say, and they do a lot of supposition. They're worse than Baptist preachers about getting something between the lines sometime. And he said when the Jews were out in the wilderness eating manna, they didn't even need a restroom. I said, he said that. I didn't. but angels' food. I don't know. The Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, when he could walk through the walls and walk through the doors with them shut, you know what? They said he's a spirit, but he asked them not only to touch him, but to give him fish and honeycomb, and he ate in front of them. Remember that? That's why heaven will be heaven. Amen. We'll dinner on the grounds. Amen. All right, let's go back to the scripture here. Getting on supposition too much here. But anyway, he gave them a feast. Verse 4, before they lay down, now they were going to rest apparently. And he was going to wash their feet. He was going to do the things he'd do for a physical body. So I don't know that I can explain all that except to say that a lot of folks think that the other life is going to be sort of smoky, wispy, foggy. No, it's going to be as real or more real than this one. It's going to be more material than you think. And so here they lay down. Before they lay down, the men begin to get around the city, both old and young. And verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now here's sex perversion. You read in the scripture sometime where a man gets married and he knows his wife. That's talking about the physical relationship of man and wife. We may know them. So this is what they were saying. And by the way, that gives you a hint about what these angels look like. Nowhere in the scripture do you find angels with wings. You find seraphim and cherubims with wings, but not angels. Now check it out if that's shocking to you. You said, but I saw the picture the artist drew. Uh-huh. That was his supposition. And a lot of the old timers said, well, if they fly, they must have wings. No, Superman flies without wings. Amen. I'm playing with you a little bit, but truth is, go by the Bible. Now, these young men showed up. You know what they looked like? They looked like young men, but they were angels. They were apparently good-looking young men, and these sex perverts wanted to get their hands on them. That's the literal Bible right there. And so they gather around the house, wanting the men to come out. Look what in verse 7 Lot says. He said, I pray you, brethren, and you shouldn't have called them that, but as long as he'd live with them, do not so wickedly. How are you going to get hospitality out of that? Wickedly. It's a dirty, wicked sin, folks. That's what it is. It's a sign of great depravity. All men are depraved, no doubt about it. But it is amazing how deep down sin goes, and we are looking at it today as a nation like we never looked at it before. We are being pressured today to accept this wickedness like never before. As far back as the 60s, there was a group, I forget the name of it, that supposed to represent the homosexuals in America. They claimed at that time, say 65, in 1965, they claimed they had 200,000 homosexuals in the closet, so to speak, in government, American government. Well, they're out of the closet now. I don't know whether they have 200,000 or not. They could have been lying. They said one out of every 10 people in America was homosexual. I do not believe that. But that's the stats they wanted us to believe. And that's the pressure that they have been putting on. And by the way, it is now being pressured in public schools, many places in America, that homosexuality has to be taught as the alternate lifestyle in the curriculum. Books like So-and-So Has Two Daddies or Two Mamas, all that. And so what we've got now is we have created this social stigma that if you say anything against that filthy, wicked, dirty lifestyle, then you are a bigot. In fact, one of the things they want to charge this preacher with up there, and the First Amendment to the Constitution gives us the freedom of speech, but now look how it's being qualified. Now, freedom of speech is if you don't have any hate speech. So they want to charge him with hate speech. Isn't that amazing? Hate crime. We got a bunch of junk going on that is totally ripping our Constitution apart. And as we think about Memorial Day and the price our soldiers and our boys paid to defend the Constitution, it's not being lost on the battlefield, it's being lost in Washington, D.C. That's where our constitutional rights are being lost. And it's an awful thing. Here we find this sin of sodomy is called, and by the way, the world's called it sodomy ever since the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's called wickedness here, right on through this passage. It says, behold, now I have two daughters, not a lot. Really, you lose all respect for him if you had any left. As he offers his two daughters, unmarried daughters, to these men to let them do with them, but don't attack these young men that have come under my house, into my house, under the shadow of my roof, he says in verse 8. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. Who said that? The perverts said that. Stand back. And they said again, this one feller came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now, that sounds like modern stuff on today. You don't have a right to judge. Yes, I do. I have a scriptural right to judge. And you call the truth, brother. And you tell it as the Bible tells it. God says this. Somebody says, you're not supposed to say anything hateful. You're not supposed to hate anything. Well, I'm sorry, but you're nuts. God said, hate the evil and love the good. You can't love cleanliness without hating dirt. You got to make up your mind. And the world wants you to straddle a fence, but brother, there's a right and there is a wrong. And yes, you have a right to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And while the Bible tells you to judge not in some cases, other cases you are to judge. It tells you on one hand to judge, another case not. And you put it in the context and it'll always make sense when you check out that way. Here, they're saying you can't judge us now. You can't withhold these men from us. And so they said, now we'll deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, upon Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. By the way, don't let them kid you. They worry about, they accuse us of violence. You check out who's behind many of the murderers. You go down South Florida and check out a lot of the murders that take place down there. You know what it is? It's lovers' quarrels. But lovers' quarrels between men. It's a big difference there. They are violent. And here they were violent. They were going to get a hold of Lot. Now, I know there's little wimpy guys that couldn't hurt a fly and all that stuff, but there's also a lot of them, brother, that will have you killed if you mess with their lover. And you check it out. Find that out. All right. They're about to break the door down. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot. Now, who's these men? This is the angels. They pull Lot into the house to them. I like this, good old Southern term, folks, and shut to the door. Now, you put that on your English test in school, your teacher will mark it wrong. Shut the door, but here in the Bible it says shut to the door now. I'll go with the Bible. Shut to the door, I mean shut it good. Verse 11, and they smote the men. Who smote them? The angels did. Smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, you read many times in the Bible where when some of God's angels show up, they can show up in great brightness and like a light. And I don't know all their powers, but these men are struck with blindness right here facing these angels at the door. Now they begin to warn Lot. They begin to warn Lot to get everybody that he can out. And you know the rest of the story there. He's supposed to get his daughters and son-in-laws in verse 13. For we, the angels, will destroy this place. Now, I've seen some documentaries on TV where they try to say that an asteroid come or there was some gas under the ground that exploded. No. This was done on purpose by God through his angels that he sent. We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord, look at the capital letters in your King James, L-O-R-D. That's the full name of God showing up here. The Lord hath sent us to destroy it. That's pretty plain. That's very plain. Now, the Russians were a little bit closer here not so many years ago. They came out over there doing a little digging around Sodom and Gomorrah where they thought it might be at the south end of the Dead Sea. And they come up with a theory that space aliens had zapped it with particle beams and destroyed it. Well, in a sense, you might want to call God an alien. His angels, aliens, and what power they have? Well, they can zap it any way they want to. So the Russians might not have been too far off. They've just got the wrong names on it, amen? But they destroyed it. And Lot went out and spake unto the sons-in-laws which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-laws. And so they didn't listen. You know why? Because his testimony stunk. He had a bad testimony. And so they didn't listen to him. And by the way, folks, don't kid yourself. There's a lot of backslidden Christians. That's the wrong word. There's a lot of backslidden saved people. They don't live like Christians. But when the rapture comes, they'll be saved because they were saved by grace. But in the meantime, their family is going to be lost because of a hypocritical testimony where they profess to know the Lord, but they live like they didn't know him. And there's too much of that on church rolls today. Anyway, and it says here in verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed, watch the next statement, in the iniquity of the city. Now, they didn't call it inhospitality, they called it iniquity. Now, you say, well, that's just in the story here. Well, hold a place and quickly go to the New Testament. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. If I can get out of my concordance here, back Revelation, John, 2 Peter. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2. Pick it up with me in verse 2. What did I say? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, I'm thinking. Somebody help me. All right, verse 6. He's given the illustration here that God didn't spare the angels that sinned in verse 4. He didn't spare the world in the days of Noah because of sin. Then in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live what? Ungodly. What does God call the sin that caused Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed? He calls it ungodly stuff. It's called wickedness. It's called iniquity. Yeah. There's just no way you can get around it. That's what caused those cities to be destroyed. Yeah. Now, folks, here's the danger. In America today, we are trying to call what God calls wickedness an alternate lifestyle. That's right. What God calls sin, we're just saying it's all right. No, it's not all right.
That's right.
And the danger to America today is exactly the danger Sodom and Gomorrah had. When we condone what God condemns, we're asking for God's judgment. That's the real truth. Now, it's one thing for us to have a part of the population out here participating in it, but it's something else when it comes from the White House down.
Yeah.
When we are bringing it in and trying to teach youngsters in the classroom, it's all right. And when our high political leaders, like the vice president and the president, coming out here recently for so-called gay marriage, hey, we're saying, God, we don't care what you say. We don't care what you've called it through the years. It's okay now because we say so. No, we're asking God Almighty. We're challenging him is what we're doing. We're asking for trouble, big trouble. Do you understand this has happened somewhat before? In 3 or 4 minutes, I'm not going to be able to finish the chapter, but by the way, what Peter just said is repeated again in Jude verse 7. Anyway, how God destroyed them over this stuff. But do you understand that now we've got religion condoning this thing? That's why the news channel brought on the liberal preacher to pervert the Bible and to say it. We're out of context to think that God is against this sin. He's out of context. But in some of the sinful days of Israel, they did the same thing and they brought God's judgment. If you were to find with me 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. Get a little bit of background. Josiah is the young king that's come on the scene. They've been digging around in the ruins of the temple and they find the law, the word of God. When Josiah begins to hear what God says is right and wrong in the Bible, he starts to clean house. He starts to clean out Israel. He starts to try to get back on the right side of God before God's judgment falls. And he begins to do some things. Put away the idols. Stop the false worship. Worship of Baal and the sun and the planets and all that business they were doing. He begins to clean house. And I want you to, because of time, I can't get into it much, but look at verse 7 of 2 Kings chapter 23. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites. Now, more than just breaking down their houses, getting rid of them, here's what it says. Houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. That's part of their idol worship. Now, do you get the point? There were Sodomite houses located inside the house of the Lord. Who was participating in sodomy? The so-called priests, not all of them, but many of them. And Josiah had to deal with that. Just because religion says sin is okay, it's not.
That's right.
And when liberal preachers come up saying we ought to be politically correct, we ought to rewrite the Bible, we ought to condone this filthy sin, don't let religion fool you. Religion's one of the quickest ways for a soul to be lost and die and go to hell there is. And the priests were involved, and they had the Sodomite houses, the bath houses we'd call them today. The houses of ill repute today is not just women. Did you know that? Do you understand today we've got so-called male models? Do you understand what I'm talking about? We got male prostitutes today. And go back to the days of Rome. Go back to the city of Pompeii that was destroyed by the volcano. What was their sin? You know what God did with that volcano? He did the same thing he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. You go in there today and find out that volcano, when it erupted, it froze many of them in place. And they actually have proof of going in where Mount Vesuvius erupted into Pompeii and caught them in the very sinful acts as God froze them in place. Hey, do you believe that God is the same God he ever was?
Yes.
Do you believe he means what he says today like he did in the past?
Yes.
Then I want to say to you, America ought to be trembling right now.
Right.
And God's people ought to be praying. Because we've got a crowd out there that's begging God's judgment to fall on us. And folks, Jesus, I don't have time for it. Jesus used in Luke 17, he said it would be like it was in the days of Lot when he returned. It's happened. It's here. Thank God we know the truth. Stand against this evil best you can. All right, my time is up. Choir, you can go out and come in, and we'll get ready.